Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, as we continue through the Lord's Prayer. Our last lesson, Christ said that they were to go to God, their Father, for their daily needs, that He was the sole provider. I always find it interesting that God focuses our attention on today. Christ told His disciples, He says, don't worry about tomorrow, focus on today. And because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. God hasn't promised us tomorrow. We have today. This next verse, I find interesting. Some of the thoughts that percolate around in my head whenever I read this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. When you first read this, it sounds like a financial thing. You know, it's like loan forgiveness. But the word translated debts and debtors both come from the verb aphilo, which means is often translated in the New Testament as ought, as in we ought to love one another. It is translated that way repeatedly throughout the New Testament. So when it says the debt and the debtor, the idea is obligation, things you ought to have done. So when, you know, forgive us our debts, forgive us our obligations. And when you take in mind that the previous verse shows us that this lesson on prayer is focused on the day, today. This is your daily prayer focused on today. This is you asking God to forgive you. This word translated forgiveness, this is the standard word translated forgiveness, but it means to send away, aphiemi, to send away. So the idea is you dismiss the obligation. You owe me something and I'm saying now you don't. I wanted to point out something, that this is not the prayer of asking for salvation. Because at the start of this prayer, God is identified as Father. God is not Father universally to mankind. There are those who teach that, but that is contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says that the lost are the children of wrath. They are the children of disobedience. They are the children of darkness, and they are the children of the devil. That is the natural state of man. And John chapter 1 teaches us that through Christ, those who believe in Christ have been granted the authority by God to become the sons of God. So we are not naturally God's children. We become God's children by adoption. So my point here is that this passage is directed to God's children, not to people in general. So this is saved people that Christ has in mind. Secondly, because He's still called Father, this shows that these failures to do that which, you know, we ought do not sever the relationship. He is still Father, and we are still His child. So this asking for forgiveness does not reestablish that relationship, but frees it up so that God no longer has to interact with us as disciplinarian, but as you know, loving father. I've often told people, I said, you will find in me that a great desire and willingness to show mercy and forgiveness, but it must be preceded by an acknowledgement of guilt. People will tell me that I can be stern at times, only when they refuse to acknowledge their fault and try to dodge around the issue. But when they say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, they find in me a person very willing to forgive. And the reason I'm that way is because if I act like everything's okay, then I'm not being their friend. I remember I was dealing with a guy, talking to him about his sinful behavior and talking to him about how much he was hurting himself and hurting other people. And he said, I was being hateful. And I said, no, I am being the best friend you have ever had. Everybody else lies to you. I want to help you. I don't want to see you hurt anymore. I don't want to see you hurt anyone else. So this asking for forgiveness, asking God to dismiss our debts, isn't asking God for salvation, but asking God to restore our fellowship with Him as our loving Father. But it's conditioned, this verse, this forgiveness from God is conditioned on how we interact with our fellows. He says, as we forgive our debtors. Debtors there being those obligated to us. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry said over and over again, if you don't show mercy, you won't receive mercy. Again and again and again, we are commanded to show that willingness to forgive and be merciful to others. A couple of verses down, he expands on this in verses 14 and 15. It says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Notice here again the repeat of the word Father. So, if you have trusted in Christ and you have sinned, your sins, your trespasses have not severed that relationship. He is still your Father. Despite what some are out there teaching, once saved, always saved. If you read Galatians and study it through, what you'll find out is that your standing is entirely based on Christ. And I told someone, I said, legally in the court of law of heaven, when God looks at my record, he's looking at Christ's transcripts. So for me to be found guilty in the courts of heaven, Christ is going to have to become guilty. He stands in my place. Legally, I'm Christ, you know, as far as records go. Is that I can't be judged guilty because he stands in my stead. So I'm trying to I guess I said what I wanted to say. So, but to have this fellowship cleansed, the channel of grace between us and our Father, we have to come to him and ask for forgiveness. But if we seek to hold bitterness against our fellows and be resentful and judgmental against them and not willing to forgive them, God says, then we can't make this right. I was talking to Pastor Weigel about this, and I was noticing one day that William wasn't being very kind to one of his younger siblings, and I called him over. And I said, William, how would it make you feel if you asked me to play with you or talk with you or read to you? And I said, no, leave me alone. He looked at me and he goes, that'd make me really sad. I said, yeah. I said, but that's what you did to your sibling. Why shouldn't I do the same to you? And he just looked at me kind of, you know, like stunned. I said, William, I said, when it comes to your siblings, you got one job, and that's love them. I said, go love your siblings. I said, and then come back to me. I said, things can't be right between us if you're not going to show love to your siblings. And so he went and he made things right, and then I took him into my arms, and everything was good. So as children, we don't have to worry about it ever not being children. When I correct my children, they don't have to worry that they stop being my child, that by disobeying and getting into something that they shouldn't have, that I reject them and say, okay, that's it. Go put your stuff out on the street. You're gone. Yeah, you know, you're not my child anymore. I've told them, I've said these words to them. I said, I will correct you when you do wrong, but understand you will always be my child. I will always love you, and there is nothing you can say or do that will ever change that. We don't have to worry about losing that connection to our Father, but if we want that channel of grace and love to be clean and open, this tells us we have to do two things. One, we have to make sure that we're not holding resentment against our fellows. And two, that we are regularly, daily coming to our Father and asking Him for forgiveness for the many areas that we fail.